First of all, I would like to welcome again the pastor teachers, their wives, from Cleveland, Ohio, and from West Babylon, New York, on Long Island. And for the people who made the effort and the sacrifice to come down here and celebrate 45 years of teaching Bible doctrine, I thank you very much. I appreciate that you made that effort. And so at this time, first, we will... Are you guys up for this?
Always ready.
Always ready. All right. You can just take the whole hour if you like. Ken Reed, his wife Ann... Ken's been a friend a long time. Both these men were trained at Maranatha Church back in the day and went through our seminary cycle and are holding firm in their locations. That we all have great big churches, by the way. So I'll have Ken come up here first, since in order of seniority, so to speak. Ken, come on up here and tell what's going on in Lake Erie Bible Church, Cleveland, Ohio.
Dressed for the occasion, as usual. See, our church is about this quadrant right here. That's how large we are. So, it's good to see everyone again. Officially, obviously, extend the greetings from Lake Erie Bible Church as their representative, under shepherd, or the little head, as it would be. Quit that. But anyway, it's good to be here, and obviously the hospitality is, as we always experience, open arms, of our old friends. It's good to see people still hanging in there. And contrary to what I usually will do and trying to be humorous, being in the last days, sometimes it does get tough, and you tend to kind of lose your humor, but then again, you know, I'm not going to do it completely because there's a reason not to, and that is because it's called joy at the Bema seat, doing backflips for hanging in there. That's our goal, united for each of us in phase two, et cetera. We've been put on the right track. You don't get there. It's not going to be the communicator's fault. I guarantee you, it's your own personal responsibility. What's going on at Lake Erie is nothing exceptional. It's been fairly status quo over the year. We have our tests just like everybody does personally. Corporately, nothing big going on. People coming in, leaving, show up on occasion. Yeah, I remember you. But anyway, we continue to solicit your prayers. You constantly have ours. We may be far in distance, but you're always near in heart. Obviously, this being my old stomping ground is a special place for me. And so far, I'm not crying. This is good. Two years ago, Seamus had his 10th. The year after that, we had our 20th. Now you guys have your 45th. 3 years in a row, we're getting together. Let our next great assembly be in the air.
How fast is that choreographed?
Big baby, Ken. Jeez. All right. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here and, of course, seeing people that I haven't seen in a while and engaging the battle and the angelic conflict. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Seamus Allen, and I'm the pastor teacher at Faith Bible Church in West Babylon. And basically, you know, we share the same battles. We're all in Christ. But speaking to old friends and stuff, we, you know, continue to battle the flesh and battle the influences out in the world and so forth. But one thing that we have in common, and it's one thing that struck me as I was thinking about coming here, and this truly momentous occasion of 45 years, that God always provides for positive volition. Always. It doesn't matter where you are, what niche you're in, what circumstances, God's got it covered. And, you know, when Jack was teaching first hour and so forth, and, you know, it's a great comfort knowing that our Heavenly Father is an expert in logistics and resources and all of that, and he's a pretty good planner, so that anything, you know, anything that happens in your life, he's already got this covered. And it's just our problem, though, trying to recognize, oh, yeah, you know, it's like you pray for something, right? I'll use myself. Pray for something, and then I'm actually surprised that it happened, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, great, you know, I'm setting a great example. But, you know, it is one of those things that we all have this together, and certainly in New York, anyway, we're just plugging away through Jude, and one of the themes is contending earnestly for the faith, and that is something that we all have to do every day, you know, that is... you know, we might go on vacations, right, in the world, but I like to think there's no vacation from Bible doctrine, and that is the constant that we have, and, you know, the doctrine that you're studying now, the, you know, the importance of Bible doctrine. This is, I view, as one of the key fundamental principles, you know, of the faith and how we're going to be successful as believers. And so it's great, you know, talking to you and those who have held the line, and, of course, 45 years, this is amazing. You know, it really is, and it's really impressive when so many believers today are just throwing their, you know, really throwing their wreath by the wayside. And it's disappointing, but, you know, as Jack, as your pastor, has pointed out, that we're in it, you know, for our wreath, and we have to always refocus on that. At least I try to do that on a regular basis here. But also I'd like to say, too, that the saints in New York are praying for you as well. You might not know them. They might not know you, but we share a common goal. Or we should, and that is to gain the wreath. And so know that there's a lot of believers, well, not a lot, but there's, okay, so there's some high-quality believers that are praying for you. But, you know, not a lot, but, you know, we don't, again, that's not the important thing. And you know, it's not a numbers game, obviously, but it is a quality. And so you have a lot of quality believers praying for you. And, of course, when we heard about, you know, Brenda, everything went so well, relatively speaking. Sure that you weren't faking this? You know, I mean, God has provided. But in all seriousness, how God had, you know, back to being an expert in planning and taking care of things, he took care of everything. It's truly amazing when you see the paths that God will bring you down and through and, you know, not necessarily remove you from testing or adversity, obviously, but bring you right through it. And so you have a choice then to adjust to it or not. And, you know, and that's the thing, obviously, with Jack and Brenda, they face it with doctrine. And in that regard, it is something that I look back, one of the things I was reflecting on about this weekend and where we were first exposed to Jack's teaching and so forth was a long time ago. And he played an instrumental role in getting us on the right track and getting us rolling spiritually. And for that, I've always been thankful. But in that step, and of course, as you mentioned, through seminary and then in my ministry as well, that God is always there. And that is a wonderful thing, wonderfully encouraging to be a part of his plan. And I trust this, that, you know, we might flake out and so forth, but God never will. This is something that's absolutely certain that he'll provide for us. And we can faith rest. We can have absolute confidence in that. So that's great. And of course, you know, it is very satisfying having like-minded believers. So thank you for the hospitality and all the grace shown to us. And continue to do so. And I continue to pray for you and your spiritual momentum. And that we all together, you know, can focus on really what matters. And let, you know, if we have seemingly, because not really, but seemingly insurmountable problems, we let God sort those out. And again, he's a pretty good problem solver too. Logistical expert, you know, he's a good planner and he's a good problem solver. And a lot better than we are. But one of the things that, you know, that comes to mind too, that God has truly blessed you with a pastor that's been faithful, that's stuck in there. And, you know, as he was mentioning first hour, I know I listened. Go figure, right? So, yeah. And I also pray on occasion. So anyway, but while we're confessing these things, so it's something that, you know, it's a commitment. And, it's something that, you know, when you look at yourself, you have to look at your pastor. The commitment he's made is tremendous. And there's so many sacrifices involved. And then look at your own commitment too, and you know, kind of reaffirm that and take stock. I'm a big believer in self-evaluation, and if you don't like it, blame someone else. But anyway, no, you do make the corrections, and you know, just again, rely on God. That's the number one thing. I think you're in a great context here with the importance of Bible doctrine, you know, when we went over Exodus and stuff. So it's very satisfying, though, and encouraging when I see other believers hanging in there. So just keep it up. And, you know, again, really cherish the fact that you have a pastor teacher that is absolutely committed to you. So thank you.
We are going to have a picnic today. Looks like the weather's going to hold. It's not as bright and sunshiny as I'd like, but I don't always get what I like. Anyway, we will start serving food around 1, is that correct? 1 o'clock. So, you know, if you have to go home and pick up your potato salad or whatever it is that you're bringing as to augment the meat that we're smoking and cooking out there, do so. I have a little time left here for you. I wanted them to take the whole hour, but they didn't do it. Could have talked about Jesus or something. one passage that I'm not embarrassed by it, but I've referred to it so many times. To get the flow of the importance of doctrine, it just keeps coming out in Scripture in a lot of different ways. We had Paul's parting address to Timothy. We have the individual who does indeed, in the case of the pastor, the individual who is willing to teach in and out of season and to teach even the baby believers, whom I, new believers, I have special regard for because I'm told to and because it's a natural thing. And it really ticks me off when people make them stumble. That's just, to me, just unconscionable. That they would make believers new to Maranatha Church and start off with enthusiasm and make them stumble. That you don't do that. This is bad. But they've got to overcome that. We all had to. They have to overcome that and draw a circle around them. And if believers that are not helping them are not helpful spiritually, I mean, are even contradict the truth, we have to deal with that. And so the individual who communicates faithfully to his congregation evidences his love for Christ. How do we measure how much we love the Lord? Most kind of people always say they love the Lord. Well, of course, they don't, because they will not abide by what the Lord tells them to do. They will not regard his word seriously. So talk is cheap, run around, run their mouths. Anybody can say they love you. They can make their mouth say anything they want to make it say, but it comes from evidence of adherence to doctrine. So the individual who does so evidences his love for Christ, where, you know, the Lord puts in a situation that was already a little tense on the seashore there, And the Lord provided breakfast for the disciples. That's one of his dramatic appearances. When they were all out fishing all night and were exhausted, hadn't caught anything, blah, blah. And this individual, unbeknownst to them at that point, tells them to cast their nets in a particular location. And that's what they've been doing all night and hadn't caught anything. And then all of a sudden they got this huge, huge catch of fish. The net was tearing, it was difficult. Even the number of fish that they caught are given there out of the Sea of Galilee. And John was the first to figure it out and said, "Hey, the fellow standing over there on the shore is the Lord." Of course, Peter's always the one for drama. He strips down, jumps into the water, and swims, and leaves the rest of the guys to have to work all the fish over. And so they get there, and they realize it's the Lord appearing to them after his resurrection. And they get there, and he's already fixing them breakfast. He's already got some fish. And he lets them eat breakfast. He doesn't start immediately putting them on this thing. And he asks what would continually be the most embarrassing question. You ask somebody this, put them on the spot. Peter, because Peter always was, "I'll be here for you all the way." He says, "Peter, do you love me more than the rest of these guys?" Can you imagine asking that? Well, the Lord can ask that question. And Peter has, been taken down a couple notches. He doesn't say, "Well, you know I do." He says, "You know that I love you." He doesn't want to start off on that path. And then in the course of this passage, he quizzes him three times on this. And one of the things he says in there to him, "You want to evidence your love for me, Peter? Feed my lambs. Feed them. Communicate to them." That is the external measure of a pastor teacher's love, his willingness to teach and to communicate to all spiritual levels of growth, including, new people. New people come in occasionally in our churches. And I take an opportunity to evangelize them. Set the gospel, set the importance of doctrine. I recognize that it's going to have to come out of them. This is what I've been looking for. Others will give compliments, but they don't come back. But we still try to persuade men. The pastor teacher's communication of doctrine is the basis for his eternal reward, obviously. And one of them we covered in Philippians that was pretty cool is that Paul talks about that he has sacrificed all things so that he can gain Christ. Gain Christ. Gain the full approbation that's associated with being one of those few men in human history who completes their ministry, apparently. Few. Very few. A lot get started. A lot get going. And in that same letter where he was in his first Roman imprisonment, he said, I want there to be no misunderstanding that I haven't attained to it yet. I'm still working on it. So that's where we're at. That's where we're all at. This one is just basically you go through the book of Acts and find all those verses where it says that the people were growing and developing spiritually from the day of Pentecost forward, that they were engaged with divine viewpoint, etc. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians emphasized the importance of doctrine. And the measure of a believer's love for Christ is keyed by his hearing first. Got to have hearing. Got to have intake. And doing. I've said a million times, doctrine, like other things, does you no good if you don't implement it. So you got to implement it. That's basically it for today. Sort of truncated second session. But that's okay. I can do that. I'll let you all dismiss. We'll dismiss with a word of prayer, and we will leave that back northwest door unlocked so that when people are on the property and need to use the facilities, they can. Anything else I need to tell anybody? We're all covered. All right, let's dismiss. Thank you, Father, for the grace we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and for this fellowship and opportunity to fellowship with like-minded believers elsewhere. Be with us all today. in our fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.